Radio on this Tuesday, and right now I'm joined by Alan. How's it going, Alan?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Another day. It's a little different without Claudia here, you know. Everything's like,
yeah, I know.
Kind of threw me off, you know. And also, it's kind of weird that we're doing it on Tuesday again because yesterday I tried to do this, but I had like a little issue with the computers, the program, everything like shut down, and then I restarted when it let me, so I had to redo it for today. It's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah. Kind of crazy. Well, computers will do that to you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then I hope this everybody listening is doing well as you listen to this. Everything like that. And prayers out to everybody that needs them, because there sure are a lot of people out there needing prayers right now, you know?
Everything. Absolutely.
You know, today marks the 31st anniversary of David Von Erich's passing.
I was like,
Wow, it's been 31 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember where you were when he... Well, wait a minute. I have to stop and think how old you are.
I was very, like, 3 years old then. So,
well, I was living in
an
apartment over off of Jim Miller and I-30. I was sitting in front of TV when they announced it.
Yeah. What was the first thing that came to your mind when you heard that?
No freaking way.
Yeah.
That was the first thing
I
saw. My wife sat there and she busted out bawling. I busted out bawling and I started grabbing the phone.
Yeah.
But
very sad day, I'm sure, you know, for everybody, you know. But I guess it's like the song said, heaven be a champion, so the knee of David, you know.
That's
up there.
Very true. Very true.
Most, you know, most definitely. And, you know, it was a sad thing, you know. Oh, man. Today, we're going to be joined. Lance Peterson is going to be calling in shortly. And also Chad Brinkley. When Chad comes on, I want to just, you know, talk to him. See a little bit about his library of all the world-class footage that he has. You know, kind of just, you know, pick his brain a little, like where, how this all came about, why he's doing what he does and everything like that, you know?
Right.
Hear it from him. Let's see. You know, hear it straight from him himself and everything, you know? You currently working right now, or are you off for it right now?
No, I'm already off right now. I had to go in and pick up some dog food and some stuff for the house, but I'm actually about a mile and a half from the house right now.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Not too far off then from home, huh?
No.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. So did you have some fun at the shootout this weekend or this last weekend?
Oh, man, it was great. Had fun at the shootout, and then Eric was at the WBW show, and
awesome.
He did a meet and greet and autographs and this and that, and we just had we had a really good time. He was able to critique some of the wrestlers and give them some advice, and some really good advice at that. But, you know, what was
very
funny
cool.
was listening to Eric give a face advice when Eric was best known as a heel.
It was a heel. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Yeah. But hey, the guy.
Jose, can I put you on hold
doing.
For just a second?
Oh, most definitely.
Put you on hold for just a second.
It's just like Alan said, it's kind of weird that Eric's getting advice to face, being that he was a heel most of his career. But hey, Eric knew what he was doing in that ring. He knew that psychology, and that's what made him so over with everybody. You know, it was just the way he worked, the way he spoke, and just the way he carried himself out there, which is pretty cool. And by the pictures and everything, it just looked like everybody had a good time out there this weekend. It looked like he had a great time. I know Lance Peterson went to that Wrecking Ball show, and looks, you know, he took some pictures with Eric, and I'm sure they had a great conversation and stuff going on with everything. And somebody just asked something. Okay. All right. And while we're waiting on everybody to call, just a quick little synopsis about David Von Erich. You know, his first, he started in June of 77 when he debuted. His first major match was August 15th, where he wrestled the then NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Harley Race, and they had a 30-man draw. This guy, you know, David, he was 2 months in the business, and he wrestled to a 30-man draw with somebody such as Harley Race. Wow. That's going to be a heck of a match. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere. Hopefully on YouTube, you know. Love to see that match. You know, he had feuds with Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, Ric Flair, the Freebirds, just all the greats back then, you know, in the 70s, everything like that. Alrighty. Let me see. Just bear with me for a second. It's kind of weird doing this and just me here, like, hi. Try to see if I get some more people in here. Gotta edit this out. Oh, excuse me for a second. I apologize about that. I had to let my dog outside. He is in the room.
I'm back.
Bad mood. Hey, what's up? I let my dog outside.
Oh, no.
He was started barking. You know, we're gonna be joined here shortly by Catherine also.
Oh, cool.
She's gonna be calling in a few minutes, which will be pretty
cool.
Cool, you know. Yep. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure all them people, you know, all the wrestlers at Wrecking Ball appreciated the advice from Eric. You know,
they really did. Everybody was very appreciative of it.
You know, he's a very valuable person to learn from. You know, I'm sure everybody took away something from that.
Yeah, and talking to Eric, you know, he said that if he realized, you know, what it was doing at the time, he would have never been involved in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, you know.
Right.
Everything does happen for a reason. So that's how it goes, you know. I enjoyed seeing those pictures that everybody took and tagged y'all in up at the shootout. Looked like I had a great time. What was that? Sonny's Barbecue, I want to say it was?
That was at Sammy's Barbecue on, they said Leonard Street, but it's actually.
Hello.
It's right.
Nice. Hello, Ellen. You there, Ellen? Ellen. Hello. Ellen, you there? Ooh. Don't disappeared. We all lost connection with Ellen. Let's see. Let's try this. Let's dial a friend.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, we lost signal somehow.
Yeah.
We had lost signal. Yeah. Hey, we are also going
I was sitting there talking, and I thought we lost it.
Yeah, because all I heard was Sonny's. And stuff. So it was pretty good barbecue.
It was really good barbecue. So yeah, we had a real good time ourselves, and it was great. I'm gonna have to put you on mute for just a minute, but I'll be back in just a moment.
All right, sounds good. Hey, Catherine, how you doing?
Hey, Jose, how are you?
Pretty good. Right now it's
who's teasing
Alan
me with a barbecue?
Oh, Alan was, but he put us on hold for a second. Hey, is Lance, is that you? Okay, Amy, hello?
Huh? What?
Amy Knudsen.
Sorry,
hey, how's it going?
I'm horsey. I'm a little horsey.
Oh, yeah, hopefully you feel better. You're online right now with Alan and Catherine right now, me. You know.
Hey, Amy.
Yeah.
Hi. How is everybody?
Yeah,
how are y'all? Doing okay?
Yep, another day out here. How are you doing out there? Good.
I'm getting over a head cold.
Ooh.
But
those
I'm
are
okay.
Not always good.
I know.
That's good.
I've had it for almost 2 weeks.
Wow. Hopefully you get better soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Catherine. What's everybody been up to?
Work.
Don't I know. 14-hour shift. Stop.
Ooh,
giggling.
That's a long shift.
So long.
Doing everybody's job? Doing everything, huh?
Today,
That's what
yeah. Yeah, it sure does. 13-hour shift. Ooh, I ain't done that in a while.
Yep.
Something like that crazy, you know? Hey, so Catherine, since Alan was teasing barbecue, next time you come up here, have him make you some barbecue or something.
Oh, I will.
You know?
I'm James. I'm Dennis.
What's that?
I'm James, I'm Dennis, because they all keep putting up pictures of lovely barbecues.
Yes, barbecue's one of my favorite foods out there, you know.
Mm.
Oh, how I love
it. Where's out here?
Huh?
I said, where's out here? I forget where y'all's from. I know Catherine's from Ireland, but I forget where everybody else is from.
I'm from here in Dallas.
Oh, you're down in Dallas?
No, Dallas.
Oh, well, you're my next door neighbor.
Yeah, home of the world famous Sportatorium in downtown Dallas.
Yeah. Well, I'll meet your next door neighbor then. I'm in Fort Worth.
Oh, cool. Just right down the road.
Yeah,
practically the same city since everything just connects, you know?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, man. They, did y'all see that picture of Eric Embry at the Sportatorium at the grounds?
No.
No, yeah, I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, when he was down here last weekend, he made his way out there to the Sportatorium to go see things, and all it was is now, you know, it was all grassy and everything, but due to all the construction they've been doing, it's just dirt laid out because all the construction equipment, all this. It's kind of sad, you know. Kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
I just hope they don't push their freeway onto the land right there, you know. You need to do something with it, but not no freeway right there.
Let me say hi.
But
Catherine.
When you think of there, you think of, you see the Sportatorium, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see an empty field. You see the Sportatorium there.
Most definitely. I try to, but sometimes it's hard with that construction equipment there, you know. We're just mm-hmm. like, you just want to get out there and just, to the construction.
I hope they don't do nothing.
Hopefully not. Hey, Lance.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you online with. Yeah, you're on with Catherine, Amy, and Alan, and me.
Oh, we're excellent.
By Lance,
you know,
Peterson.
I thought I had to hit the button before you could hear me, so that's why I was sitting back for a second, seeing who was on. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Oh, we sure had a good time on Sunday out at the Wrecking Ball, watching Alan ref and seeing the show, and met Eric Embry. It was fantastic. He was certainly nice and really genuine, talked about his days in Dallas, just like we talked last week on the radio show. He was really fantastic. He said, you know, be glad to come back anytime. So that was, it was really great. Got a picture with him, and y'all saw the autographs. I tweeted one of them, I think, because I had the scaffold picture blown up to 8x10, and
oh,
I had
nice.
Him sign one of it. And then I'll have Bobby Fulton sign the other in April when he comes through. So I was pretty proud of that. I sure
that
was.
That'd be pretty cool. It looked like you had a blast out there. You know, I saw a picture you took with Eric Embry and all that. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was really good. And Alan, they had a pretty hot angle there that got a little out of control with some of the fans. It was a little out of control, but it was good stuff.
I think they were more upset about what happened to me than anything else. And then then that other little angle that happened, which wasn't planned. And luckily, everything worked out, though.
Yeah, it did. You know, I really thought that was a fine place for wrestling. I didn't have any problem. I really did. I was in a comfortable seat, you know. I really thought it was a good place to have wrestling. I actually did. I don't know what the workers think of it, but I liked it.
Well, they actually like it. It's one of the better places that they've worked in a while. So they were all pretty well happy with it. And, you know, we're going to be out there. We're going to have another show this week. And then we'll probably skip a week or so, but it's pretty much going to be an every week thing or every month thing. We're going to do it at least once a month.
Excellent. Well, we had a good time. You know, there was a place out other side of Plano, where between Plano and Allen, that was a skating rink. I went out there one time to see some guys locally around. This was around 99, 2000. And there was when they set the ring up, there was a beam that came across the ring. They couldn't run the ropes.
Huh.
Really?
They couldn't run the ropes and everything. I think Black Bart was actually on that card. I think that was still when he was taking care of some of the guys. I think that was right after him and Necro Butcher had their falling out. And Black Bart trained Necro Butcher. You know, they went on to be up there. And oh, yeah, Necro and him. And they had a big falling out over a match and somebody chair. There's some things out there. I don't know. But anyway, they had a falling out. But Necro was certainly around Dallas and everything. I saw him plenty of times. And really nice
matches.
Guy.
I've refereed a few of Dylan's matches, and he's really a nice guy. I don't know how he and Bart would act toward each other now, but, you know, both of them are really good friends of mine, and I just really enjoy working with them whenever I can.
Yeah, you know, one night, Dylan, we all went over to the pool hall over by when they were at NWA Southwest. We go there and play pool and video games. Necro came in one night, And I'm playing that video game Golden Tee, and he comes up, and he's had a couple of drinks in him, and he's covered in dried blood and everything, and he's talking to me and slobbering, and it was a mess. And stuff. I remember it so clear, so it was so funny when he was in the movie, and so I was like, man, I sure know that guy. And it was really, yeah. Really funny. It was.
That's pretty
cool. So is everybody doing okay?
How are you doing, Lance?
I'm good. I keep hearing some wind on the line. Somebody out there fishing by a lake or something?
No, I'm actually on my Bluetooth. I'm actually out here in the front yard. I'm having to do some work on the cars.
So, yeah, I knew you were outside.
Oh, man.
I thought so. Okay. Hey,
I'm in my car driving.
And who is that? Who's that?
That was Amy.
Amy. Is that Amy?
Yeah, I'm taking
Twitter
my daughter to work. So.
Is that not Amy Barefoot?
No.
No. I'm taking my daughter to work in the car. So my window was down.
I got you. Jose, yeah. Do you have any guests come on today?
Chad Brinkley's supposed to be joining us here.
Chad
was supposed
to
be yesterday, but I had some issues. So see if he gets a chance. You know, being kind of like a last minute thing.
You know, I was really happy. He put up that link to the Triple Dome, that Triple Cage at the
Triple Dome
at the Texas Dome. And, you know, it cuts off right before John Tatum wins. And as I tweeted out, you know, I was down at ringside with about, I don't know, 15 of us that, you know, won this raffle to go down ringside. And whoever won, the first guy got the first prize was, Vegas. The second prize was mopeds. And the third prize that I got was jewelry made by the Simpsons. So I kind of
got that's cool.
Yeah, it wasn't as cool as a moped or a trip to Vegas, but and
I
actually
you
got to talk.
You came out ahead.
I actually talked to John Tatum about that years ago. I said, "Man, you won it for me." In fact, when whoever got up there first, I can't remember who won. I think Jason Sterling got up there, and John Tatum. The first person got number one. The second person grabbed the number three thing, and John Tatum got up there third and got the number two tag. But they still straightened it back out and gave me third place. But I got in the ring, and Ralph Pulley gave me that stuff right there in Texas Stadium and everything. I wish there was footage of that. But
there probably is somewhere. You never know.
Yeah. You never know where stuff comes out. I've got something right now coming in from 1979 from Fort Worth that somebody's sending me some disc. And so really excited about that because, as I say, anything pre-82 Fort Worth is what I'm looking for. I mean, that's the stuff. I'm always wanting Fort Worth stuff.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like I lived watching that other, and I mean, it was great, but I've just seen it all, you know, in 100 times and stuff and everything. And, you know, so I'm really excited about getting these other
excited.
Tapes in.
It sounds
really
like
good.
Now
really
the
cool.
Jewelry, do you still have that jewelry?
No, I'm not sure. I think it was like three little rings, and I'm not sure where that is because I never took too good a care of it because I was kind of – as much as I take care of all this other stuff, all these newspaper clippings, magazines,
yeah.
I don't take
that's
care of
one
that.
Thing you do. That's like –
those guys are still local is what I understand. Alan, do you know about that?
Yeah, they are. I want to say Steve lives in Dallas, and Sean lives in Fort Worth, I believe. I may have it backwards, but one of them's in Dallas, and the other one's in Fort Worth.
They're really close buddies. They're really right. The mattress deal and stuff. Their close buddy was a boss of one of my buddies. They had he had a pizza restaurant and everything, and they would come through. I never saw them there, but I know that they were tight with this guy, and he was my buddy's boss. And stuff grew up and over there and everything. Kind of neat.
Very
but
cool.
Again, back to Eric Embry. You know, he's such a calm guy. It's wild. He's so calm. And, you know, I was taking a picture with him. And I was standing there, and he said, "Get in close like you love me." it was so funny. It really was and stuff. And I got to get out to Bedford and see a show out there, too. I want to see Jason, and I want to see all those guys go out there and stuff. So I'm excited about that and stuff. Hey, you know, I wanted to bring up a subject today, and you know, I'm going to bring it back to old school wrestling and stuff. But, you know, as important as it was to have the traveling world champion back in the day, what do y'all think? I just still think that money is left on the table by them not having a traveling world tag team champions. it just seems like money was left on the table, that, you know, that they could have come in for a big match every, you know, few months, just like the world champion. And it just seems like it would have been a natural fit.
Well, actually, they did at one time, and that was one of the things about the Texas Tag Team Champions, was they would travel around all over the place. You would see it defended here in Dallas, in Fort Worth, Amarillo, down in Houston, Lubbock. I mean, they actually did that all over the place at one point, you know, and that was basically because it was the Texas Heavyweight Championship, or Texas Tag Team Championships. And then for a while, they did, you know, when WCCW came into being, for a short while, they did do the tours with them. I'm sorry?
Oh, sorry. Keep going. I was thinking out loud.
Yeah, but, you know, there was money left on the table at times when they didn't have those out there, because a lot of people, especially when Kevin and David had the Texas Tag Team Championships,
right?
They wanted to see them, but normally they were in a singles match, and, you know, if they were tagging, they didn't have the belts. Now,
right.
When they did the six man. You know, that really went over really well.
Oh yeah, that was just
because they defended
right
that pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, that was that.
That would be nice if they were to bring back a six-man titles.
Well, you know, what's funny is that nobody ever had a six-man tag team title until WCCW did. Then all of a sudden, WCW and NWA had it. Then the WWE had it, and PWF had it. And everybody, you know, they had one out in California.
Everybody copied it.
Everybody copied it. You know, it's like they say, often duplicated but never imitated. Or often imitated,
often
never
imitated,
duplicated.
Never duplicated.
Right.
But, you know, there's no greater three-man team anymore. It's all good. There's no greater.
He had a long weekend. I saw what happened to him on Sunday.
Yeah, what's up with that, with you were hanging by the cord or rope?
I got thrown over the top rope with a rope around my neck.
Ouch. That's not good.
Of course, Lance is sitting there going, pull it tighter.
Bad Lance.
My buddy was telling you telling him to turn you around while he was hanging you so we could get a good picture.
That's
crazy.
Cruel.
That was
hey guys, are you going to have a show next week too?
On Monday?
Okay.
Yep.
My phone's fixing to die, so just remind me and I'll call you next week too.
Sounds good. All right, you take care, Amy.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you online.
Oh, wait a minute. Which Amy is this?
Stapleton.
Amy, not... Yeah.
Lurker. This is the lurker, huh?
The lurker,
lurker.
This is Amy, who kind of is very fond of our cabin. That Amy.
She was working on me yesterday.
I'll talk to y'all online, and I'll talk to y'all on the phone next week, okay?
All right, take care, Amy.
Okay, bye, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Alan.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
This cookie addiction is getting very dangerous if they're going to hang you off the ring.
Hey, they're my cookies.
Caring is sharing, Alan. I told you that.
I don't care. I don't share. They're my cookies.
Shocking, lad. Shocking. You're never going to learn.
The only one I share my cookies with is Ginger.
Hey, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Alan is now Sean is your grandson.
He's my oldest grandson. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Was there somebody else? I could have sworn it was Justin.
Was Jason.
It, no, I guess it was
Jason.
Sean that you introduced me to Sean, and
right.
For some reason I had his name Justin until he got me on Twitter and I go, oh, okay, it was Sean. I had his name wrong, but. He got me on Twitter and everything. He retweeted out that everybody should follow me, which they should.
It's true. Yeah, my youngest grandson, Donnie, was there as well.
Say that
again? I'm sorry? I say my youngest grandson, Donnie, was there as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't,
he was the one that came in. He came in with Jason.
Oh, okay, okay. Jason came in. There were several people with him, it looked like, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
And everything.
Well,
he has
entourage.
He has an entourage of an entourage of vampires.
Yeah.
Hey, I lost my train of thought. I'll think of it in a second. Y'all go on.
jump the tracks, huh?
We were on
vampires.
It sounds like
I'll jump back
a good
in
show
a second.
On Sunday. I was like, jeez.
It was fun. You know, like Clint said, you know, we had a little bit of drama that was uncalled for, but, you know, it all got worked out. But, you know, that happens when you have people that are new to the wrestling scene, and they actually, the guy meant well, but he actually took everything a little too serious.
Yeah, they were a little bit. Hey, Alan, let's move on to something else.
As in a fan, or?
Okay.
Tell me about Christian Courage. Tell me about that guy. I don't know what to kind of tell everybody. I mean, I'm guessing he's paralyzed from the waist down, or how's that?
Okay, you're talking about Jonathan Mayfield.
Oh, see, that? Yeah, somebody told me they called him Christian Courage. I don't know.
He's very Christian-oriented, and you know, he shows a lot of courage getting in the ring.
Sure.
He's got, I want to say it's multiple sclerosis. I could be wrong, but, you know, basically he has very little, if any, use of his lower limbs.
Right.
Very little, if any, use of one arm. But he actually gets up in there, and a lot of the shows he does are benefits for disabled people to show that, hey, you know, follow your dreams no matter what they may be, you know, whether you're disabled or, you know, you can call it a handicap or disabled or whatever. But it's basically, you know, follow your dreams, do what you love to do, and show the world that you can do it. Because nothing is impossible if you've got your heart set on it.
Fantastic. And it was fantastic. Go ahead.
One thing that a lot of people don't know is that a week ago, he won a world heavyweight title.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
At one of the promotions, yes, he did. And, you know, this guy, even if he's standing up on his crutches, is barely 5 feet tall.
Right.
But, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, they just gave that to him. No, I've seen this kid take a lot of punishment, and he really does have a lot of heart. And, you know, you would think, okay, everybody's taking it easy on him, but he's already told them, hey, you know, you're not going to hurt me. Treating him like a regular wrestler. And they did.
I saw a couple of things.
Won.
They sure as heck did.
Yep.
See, when he was leaving the ringside area and you had kind of step over to go out, and the guy came over and pushed him down, it was like, holy cow. He does. He takes. He plays rough and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was pretty neat. I'm anxious to see him do something else, definitely.
Yeah, I've seen him at a couple
very
of shows.
Yeah,
have you really?
He's very professional about everything that he does.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
He does take
that,
the punches
really
like a champ.
He sure,
yes, he does.
Sure does. Man,
he has nothing but courage and heart, which is awesome. You know,
wow.
It just goes to show, like anybody that, like Alan said, you know, you could do it no matter what, you know. Just go,
yeah.
You know, put your heart to it. Have your mindset.
You know,
go
ahead.
I shared a video the other day where it shows a kid that has no use of his lower legs, no use of his right arm basically at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's got a left arm that he can move, and it showed this kid lifting weights. Now, to me, that was very awesome, but, you know, I want to give props to that kid for wanting to work out, but also I want to give props to his trainer because Ginger saw this, and, you know, to have a trainer that will sit there and take the time to work with him, be patient with him and help him and make sure he doesn't get hurt. You know, I just really couldn't believe that, you know, I was seeing that video the way I was. It was just,
wow.
It was really awesome.
Wow. That's great. It really is. Hey, did y'all see, I put on Twitter, I put this picture I got from this old magazine from the 50s where it's a trailer and the ring folds out from this trailer.
Yes.
And stuff. That's
wow.
Pretty wild, isn't it? And stuff. That is, yeah, it's really a throwback to the carnival days type of deal, isn't it? and stuff.
Actually, WWE is actually having one built like that.
Oh, yeah?
It actually, when it folds out, the ring posts pop up, the ropes are already on there, they're pre-tensioned and everything. You basically unfold it and you start a match.
That's pretty cool.
Of course, if you've got the money for it, if you've got the money for it, I mean, if you've got the money to spend on that, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it, nowadays everything's inside. Nobody does shows outside. You know, I wouldn't feel like it, you know, for somebody buying that. But it was kind of a neat thing from a million years ago, from the 50s.
I'll tell you what, Lance, you need to take a trip down to Austin and go to the ACW show down there.
Oh, yeah?
Because, yeah, it's got walls around it, but there is no roof. I mean, these guys have wrestled in the snow, in the rain in the sleet. When it hails, you know, when the skies are clear, they get out there and they put on one heck of a show.
That sounds like those crazy Austin people.
Well, you know, the thing about it is they got a lot of these crazy Dallas people going up there too.
Right.
Jason Silver is one of them. And
okay.
I've been down there a couple of times, but unfortunately I haven't ever been able to work them. But Darren Childs puts on one heck of a show.
Well, Jason
yes,
just told me that he went down there, and I said, well, I'll probably just get the Bedford shows. I can't get too far away with boys and wife and everything and stuff, but
right.
That's pretty cool.
Wednesdays, you just need to make that trip at least once because, I mean, the shows, they're long, but they are so freaking awesome. You, like, literally get your money worth and then some at ACW show, you know?
That sounds pretty cool. I don't know. I get that close. I'm close to the in-laws if I get down that side of Texas, so I don't know.
Get a little nervous, do you?
I do. And, that's pretty funny.
Well, that's what got you in trouble by saying I do.
Nobody else is listening to
that
one.
Oh, God.
Hey, Jose,
let me ask you a quick question. 3911's not on here, is she?
No, she's not.
Okay, I'm safe.
You're safe.
You're safe. I got you. You know, besides David...
Be nice, Catherine.
Night, babe.
Besides David Von Erich passing away today, it was the day that Kurt Hennig passed away.
Yeah.
No, oh, wow.
No, I didn't really put those together. I did see it on Twitter earlier because I don't usually think of the newer ones. Unfortunately, I think of the ones that passed away years ago. You know, those dates are kind of stuck in your head. And
he's stuck in my head because...
That.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's just Kerry beat him for a title, so I just loved seeing him getting battered.
Exactly.
I'm sure he was
right.
A sweet soul,
very
but I
good.
Loved seeing him being beaten.
Very good. Exactly. I put up the last thing that I tweeted was a picture of this woman, and that's Kat, that's Tony Matt Bourne's wife. When
right.
she was here in Dallas, she was running the memorabilia stand. I remember seeing her when little kids would be crying about what was going on in the ring, and she's the one I think that I got that, you know, they're just playing rough. And that's kind of how I always termed it to people, is, oh, they're playing rough. But in that tweet, when Matt went to become Big Josh, you know, she was in the audience doing that standing there when that Nikita started to get after that boy, and she jumped the rail, and I'm like, I know who that woman is, and everything. That's pretty funny, and that's on Twitter, and anybody that's listening, you know, I'm an SMU heavyweight, and I put all these old pictures on here and anything that I think is unique and stuff. Try not to do what everybody else is doing. I really try to make my stuff unique and everything.
And make sure you follow him at SMU heavyweight.
That's right. I will appreciate it. I really will. What
and he might follow back.
I will follow back.
What else is going on? What else is going on?
It's Jill's birthday today.
Paradise. Is what?
Jose. What
was that?
It's Jill's birthday.
That's right.
Oh, is it?
That's right. Yes, it is. The same day that David... passed away, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday, Jill. You know?
You know, that's...
I lose track of my days.
When she got married, they had the announcement in the paper here in Dallas. I mean, it didn't say anything about Von Erich, but you're not going to get that past me. I saw the Atkinson name. I go, I know who that is.
And you knew.
I really do. Going, I know that is. Does that make me crazy or just? I just paid attention to the parents, Kevin Atkinson. I was going, I know who that is. That's.
No,
you know,
not,
I went out to.
Make
you know,
crazy,
one time
just makes you pay attention.
She did that charity thing, the boxing thing on the ticket one year, and when they had the guys' night out fights and stuff, and
right.
She fought
yeah.
this girl out at the track in a boxing ring, and I went out there and watched her. I don't think her dad was too proud of that, but anyway.
She's probably like, really?
Absolutely.
You know.
Well, I think Kevin will be proud of his kids no matter what they did.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And stuff. You're right.
Especially if she's
yeah.
a good boxer.
Yeah. I don't know how that went. It kind of turned a little funny. But anyway, I go, if Von Erich's in a ring, I got to go, you know?
What? No matter what. Hey, so I got a question. It's kind of been bothering my mind for a little bit, for a few days. If you could have one match, like witness one match, and it would be like any wrestler, past, present. Hey, 911's on the line. It could be any wrestler, past or present, versus another wrestler, past or present. Who would it be? And like, it could be one, two, or it could be up to a 6-man match.
That's what I was gonna say.
Who'd
tag team?
Yeah, who would y'all do? Who would y'all have?
Y'all start. I'll think on it.
The one match that I never saw that I wanted to see, and I don't know personally that they ever did one, would be Hogan against Kerry.
No,
against
they never did.
No, they didn't.
That would be cool.
But that's,
they
that
never
would
did.
Be cool, you know.
Yep.
I think
I do know Kerry that at one time they did. They were talking about it, and Hogan wouldn't do it.
Oh, was that back when Kerry was inside WWF?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what they actually
sweet.
Wanted to do, they wanted to do an Intercontinental Champion versus a World Heavyweight Champion title, and Hogan would not do it.
Sounds like Hogan was scared.
Well, I think
you know?
I think Hogan was more intimidated by Kerry's physique than anything else. You know, what a lot of people
yeah.
don't know is Kerry was supposed to have been in one of the movies.
Rocky.
The one of the Conan movies.
Uh-huh.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger, when they sit there and they took their shirts off together, went back to his agent and said, I'm not doing the movie if that boy is in it. And he was already signed to do the movie. And this was long before Kerry ever went to WWE. He was still in WCCW. And Arnold sat there and said he would not be in the movie.
Be in the
if
movie.
Kerry Von Erich was going to be in it.
Did he get shown up?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, Kerry was bigger than
him. Comparison. Yes, they did a comparison, and Kerry was much
uh-huh.
bigger than
Arnold.
Yes.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's crazy. I think I would take Fritz Von Erich versus John Cena just to see a heel Fritz when he was doing his German gimmick, just to see him
yes.
stomp a mud hole, just see him stomp a mud hole and Cena. I just Cena buries everybody, so I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? Just like just see him get beat like hardcore. That's who I would pick.
You know,
what
this is
you?
The thing a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, Cena is a very good wrestler, but Vince McMahon will not let the boys wrestle because
yeah.
it's not what's good for business.
No,
you
it's
know,
a cookie cutter
Cena
system. They're all there. They beat the indie out of them and try to and rebuild them just doing the style. I mean, the reason
right.
that, you know, Kenta is in Florida when he's the best wrestler on the planet is just crazy. And then the same with Finn Balor, who should not be down there, and Sami Zayn, you know, three of the best workers in the world are down in developmental and down there for a while just getting, you know, trying to beat the indie scene out of them is what I how the way I
right.
did it.
Brainwashing.
I mean,
exactly.
I never seen Kevin Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens wrestle before, but I knew his reputation. I know exactly what he can do and everything. And he's been great, but, you know, he's ready to move up. You know, they don't have any heels. I mean, when Big Show and Kane are fighting every week in the main event on Raw, you know, come on. And I love Kane for years and years, but come on. They're starving for heels up there.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't even see Big Show as a heel no more just because of the way it did him over the years.
Exactly.
Made him a crying giant.
Exactly.
It's just like, you just can't take him serious no more because of stupid stuff they do. You know,
I mean, you just can't flip back and forth. He becomes Lex Luger when you flip him back and forth and back and forth. It just can't. It's just not good, you know, and stuff. But the turnover rate is so high right now with the kids because their main audience is the kids, and the kids are getting tired, and their kids are not becoming longtime fans like us. I mean, it's rare to have longtime fans like us. You know. It's pretty rare. The kids, you know, they are fickle. They're going to like it for 6 months. Then the next group of kids comes in and likes it for 6 months. And it's really crazy.
Because all my kids have been fans of the Von Erichs and, you know, been wrestling fans since pretty much the day they were born.
Well, sure. You know, they're growing up in a family surrounded by it. I understand and stuff. They, of course. I mean, they're really surrounded by it.
It's not like I beat it into them or anything.
Nah. I don't know.
I beat it into you. Alan, how are your kids today?
Your kids aren't kids anymore.
Yeah, I saw them. Well, even John and Donnie.
Yeah. Donnie's great,
by the way,
though.
Yes, he is. By the way, Catherine, that's Ginger.
Oh, well, she'd be
hey,
Ginger anyway. I've instructed her well.
Uh-oh.
Is that true, 911?
I'm in trouble.
Yep.
That's her.
I had two kids today who were mocking wrestling.
Uh-oh.
So I said I'd show them my two little pals. So I showed them pictures of Ross and Marshall on my phone. They didn't last very long.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man.
Yeah, I said that they were two nice, gentle lads. And they said that they looked it, especially Ross.
Yeah, I think they're wrestling next week at TNA. Yeah,
I had to say that as well.
The way
I want to do it.
I would like to know how to get Destination America on Dish.
They don't have it there.
I haven't been able to find it.
Oh man, that's not good.
Let me
Google it
real quick. You know, TNA filmed in the next 6 weeks are filmed, and they were filmed over in the UK. So we work from 6 weeks from now is when these tapings will start that Ross and Marshall will be at, is the way I understand it. But we have six weeks already filmed.
Yeah.
Hey, did y'all? I'm going to talk about my Twitter again. hey, did you see where I put that picture of Moolah from 1953, and then the latest I see her wrestling at the Sportatorium is 1980, 27 years. You know, they on and on, you know, back and forth. That's pretty incredible. I was trying to think of Lawler at the Mid-South Coliseum, and he can't do that. I mean, that was he's might be 74 to. 94, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that – I'm trying to think of anybody on the Sportatorium that's something like that because that's pretty darn incredible and stuff. 53 and 1980, 27 years.
No.
Well, when did Akbar go when he wrestled? How long was that for? Wasn't he in the – was he 60s or
– Akbar started wrestling at the Sportatorium in 1961.
Yeah. And then – he wrestled for Mike's debut match, right?
Yes, he did.
I want to
say his last match was the last time I remember Akbar being in the ring was 1981, and he wasn't in there. He was in a tag match, and I want to say it was with One Man Gang after he'd taken him away from Gary Hart, and he was only in there for maybe 2 minutes out of the whole match.
Okay. Well, no,
I would think it'd be like 83. Cause I want to say, yeah.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving 83 was Mike's, but that's
yeah.
the first time since he was really active, like Al was talking
okay.
about. He was, you know, gotcha. And he was, I do have him in a program in the 70s there at the Sportatorium, but in the 60s, he did get at least three matches with Bruno for the world title in New York.
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow.
He's very proud of that. He's also very proud of his relationship with Lou Thesz. Lou Thesz
yes.
and Akbar. Very much so. And gosh, man, Akbar's just the best. You know, I'm talking about him like he's still with us. But I mean, just fantastic when you talk to him.
Lance, did you know that Lou Thesz helped to train Akbar?
Yes, on his shoot interview, he did talk about that. It was I didn't know that. It was so cool because I mean, anything back to Lou Thesz is just you know really you know I'm the guy that loves the NWA heritage. You know the going back to that. You know, and so that meant a lot to me when I found out he was trained by him. You know, another thing, and I have that article they did on Akbar. It was about. That was 5 or 6 years before he passed away. Maybe 10, that they did in a local paper here all about him. And he was so proud of that article. He thought that the guy who wrote that for the Dallas Morning News had done such a good job. And I just want to pass that along because he was so proud of that, that article. And it really neat and stuff. I have that article and have his obituary in there and stuff. Just so nice. Just really nice.
Well,
just scan that article.
You know, Akbar was not a nice guy, but Jimmy Weaver, who was, you know, that was Ak. He was just the sweetest guy you ever wanted to meet. And he loved his favorite meal, and he loved the heck out of it, was chicken and dumplings.
Huh.
I mean, if you put a ribeye steak or a filet mignon in front of him in a bowl of chicken and dumplings, he would go for the chicken dumplings every time.
That's crazy, huh?
He sat there and he told me that one time, and I mentioned it to my mother, and she said, "Bring him over here Sunday." And he was over at the house several times, and in fact, he was over there the Sunday before he passed away.
Oh, sounds like
oh wow, have some chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, I would ask him. I said, "You know, Mom, why don't you come over for dinner? Is she going to have chicken and dumplings?" I said, "I don't know, but I'll ask her." Sure enough, she would have them. I mean, she would make them specially for him.
That's pretty cool.
But, you know, the night Esther came home and told me that Ak had just passed away, I was out in the driveway, and she came out, and, man, we jumped in the car, and away we went.
Right. Right. You know, we're talking about these managers. At the show on Sunday, Baboose was over there on the front row just sitting. Baboose, is that her? Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
We gave him such a hard time.
You know, my buddy Ernie, who passed away this last year, is such a super fan, going to shows, and he loved yelling at Babu. So I went over there and showed him his picture and talked to him, and I said, you know, Ernie, the one that passed away, I said he did so many things. He went to these guys' apartments with the Samoan SWAT team, and all the Samoans were there. Yoko was there, and Babu said, "That was my house." And I said, "Son of a gun." And then he realized who Ernie was, and he was like, "Oh my gosh," he couldn't believe that he passed away and stuff. But I just told him, I said, "Man, he sure enjoyed yelling at you so much and everything." He did. So I was really glad that I could talk to him there and stuff, and showing pictures of Ernie, because Ernie went to spend his whole life with wrestling autographs and things like that and stuff.
Babu's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, you know,
yes,
I really, that's the only time I've ever talked to him. I didn't know him at all and everything, and I just went over there like that.
Well, he's a really nice guy. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, being a nice guy, sometimes it's hard to portray a heel when you're in wrestling.
Right.
You know, but if you can pull it off and make the fans believe it, you know, you've done your job. And that's what Akbar used to say was, it doesn't matter if you've got one person in the seats or you got 1,000. You know, you do your best, and if you make that one person or you make all of them believe that you're the biggest heel around, you've done a good job.
Right. I got you.
True words. Hey, Alan.
Yes.
I have found an answer for you with Dish Network. Do you got, like, the America 250? America's Top 250 plan?
I think so.
Because it's on America's Top 250 plan,
and it is channel 194.
194. All right, I will check that out in a little while.
Yeah.
So I will definitely check that out.
Yeah.
That's you know, it's so funny that that building is over there off Midway Road here in Dallas. Is the Panda Energy that Dixie's father owns that company, and there's a big panda on the side of the wall. That is, it only took me a few years to figure that out when I was waiting for my son in a carpool line, and I keep looking up this panda and stuff and realize, wait a minute, that's her dad's company. Of course, she went to school down the street at Hockaday and everything. They did a couple of shows early on, TNA, at the House of Blues downtown. And they were fantastic.
Right.
It was such a good place. I mean, well, I had really great seats, but as always. It was a fun show and stuff. And they're so fan friendly coming out after the show and everything like that. I always want the best for TNA.
Yeah, that's what TNA is so awesome, is because that's, they really do appreciate the fans and make time for the fans, you know.
They do a lot of old school stuff, you know. They don't do as much old school as I'd like to see, but they do a lot of it. And you know, thinking about the way it started out, you know, right now it seems to me like they're getting back to their roots, and I think it's a really great show.
Yeah, I do too. And I like my blood in my wrestling when it's called for, and so I like the fact that. Like watching a cage match with no blood. That's just not.
I'm not bleeding for you, Lance.
You're not gonna bleed for that.
Yep.
I'm gonna have to talk to your guy out there, Sed. Maybe he can get you bleeding.
He's done that
Big
before
Sed.
Too.
Yep. Is that Big Sed? Yeah.
Yeah, that was Big Sed.
You know who I thought
nice.
I thought he showed the fire was old Chewy. When he got over in the corner, he got after it and stuff and everything.
Chewy Martinez?
Yes.
You got after it. I'm not big on the baseball bat stuff. I'm never big on too many bats or the guy bringing the axe, but that's okay. That guy really looks like a lumberjack son of a gun, and then the old Confederate manager, that guy. That's good stuff. Entertaining. I mean, come on. Not everybody looked the same like WWE. Not everybody looks like Randy Orton, you know. You had some of every shape and size out there Sunday.
They had their own personality and everything, huh?
That's the way it should be, you know, at every different size and shape.
Yep, most definitely.
A little variety.
Nobody likes the same thing over and over again.
Everybody knows on the radio show, every time Jose says most definitely, you're supposed to take a drink. No. I was going to tweet that out. Got to mess with Jose. Jose came by and saw me at work. He
did
knows
he
really? Where I am. He can find me. I got to be good to him.
Oh, did he give you one of the specialized cards?
No. What is that?
Jose, you need to get a silver ink pen for that for those cards, Jose.
Yeah, you're right. I do. Sorry, I had myself on mute for a while. Hey, Lance, have you tried that spray out yet?
Not yet. You be quiet. You'll get me in trouble.
Should I be hitting this?
You know, I actually own a beer store down in South Dallas, so sometimes it gets a little rough out there. So he brought us a little extra protection in case we had any problems, a little mace. It's good for him.
Here's what I want
you know,
to,
some
little
guys
to do,
get a little out of control outside, so...
If they're in the sportatorium wrestling. Here's what I want you to do,
Lance. Your next wish today.
Say that again.
Down South Dallas.
I say, if you're in South Dallas, I was in your neck of the woods today.
Oh, about where? Where were you?
Down off Lamar and Municipal.
He's right there.
Yeah. You're Lamar's down just a mile or two behind me. And stuff. I'm a little bit more towards Fair Park, but not very much farther. I'm not way up by Fair Park at all. I'm near the old city park.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm at.
Here's what I want you to do, Lance. Tomorrow when you get to work, is I want you to get a styrofoam cup, right?
Okay.
Go outside, put the styrofoam cup inside like a trash bag or something, or a grocery bag, and shoot a little bit into the cup. All right, just shoot a little bit of that spray in the cup. Huh?
and see what happens to the cup.
I will do it. I'll do it. I have a feeling I know and stuff. I do.
Oh, and if you want to take it a step further, you know those red Solo cups that you play beer pong with and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you get one of those, spray a little in there and just let it sit for about 5 minutes and then go back and check it. But make sure you put it inside your trash bag or something.
That sounds pretty good and stuff. I'll give that a try.
Well, make sure it's outside, by the way.
Oh, you don't have to worry. I've sprayed enough mace. I know to stay out of downwind from it.
And tell the people that stand out there to watch over it for you.
Yeah, right, right.
Right here, watch this for me.
Been down there since 82 and stuff. Yeah. I've seen a lot through the years. I really have. And
find
you
an old bottle that says 84 on it and spray some in it.
But come on by, Alan. I got you a I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll be right back in a few minutes, y'all.
Okay.
All right. I hear somebody's at his house. Doorbell ringing. Somebody wants to.
Catherine, how are you doing?
Grounds, kids, grounds. They're trying to walk me to that spot. Grounds.
Can't beat being grand. You know?
What else can I say?
Most absolutely.
Just have to grin and bear and just do what I have to do.
Yep.
Go day by day.
But when are we going to, like, meet up again?
That's all I was just about to say. When you're coming down.
Well, I have to go somewhere probably the end of April, so I won't be going before summer anywhere.
Right, right.
And then, I don't know, are we going to Galveston in September?
I don't think they'll be there, you know.
I thought that was another Hall of Fame thing that they were being brought into.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are. It won't be in association with Derek. I don't think. But they also have a Hall of Fame deal in either May or September. I don't remember. But
I thought that was September.
I don't know. I'll hear more about it later on. And as I hear about it, I'll let y'all know.
So I can get myself organized.
Right.
No, having the guys are great, but you can have a VE Nation get together without them. It would be neat to see everybody just to get together.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Well, James McLean is talking about coming down for barbecue, so, you know.
I mean, that's something we could do. We could plan.
Most definitely. That's Ginger.
Ginger.
It's just me.
You sound so young and mischievous today for some reason, Gail.
Me?
Yeah, no. You. Is he leading you astray again, Ginger?
He doesn't lead me anywhere.
What do you mean, me lead her?
That's what you're telling me, Gail.
What do you mean, me leading her?
Yes, Alan, innocent man of mine. Yeah, giggle about you, Alan. You can't hide from me, lad. I know what you're like.
I'm an angel.
Ooh.
An angel with horns holding up his halo, huh?
An angel with a dirty face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Uncle's got to hold him up.
Well, let me know when the mob are going to turn up together. We'll turn up and cause some mischief. Sorry, we wouldn't cause mischief. No, no, not at all. Not at all.
Mischief is fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
You just have to watch out for the cameras.
Yeah. You know, Catherine's real sneaky with that camera.
Camera? I don't bring cameras. I am not like you.
What do you mean you're not like me?
I got one word to say to you, Alan. Bananas.
You know, if we had a VE Nation reunion around Halloween, maybe we could find her banana man again.
Oh, yes.
Jealousy.
Wow. That was a funny picture.
If not, I'll bet we can get Tracy to dress up as Banana Man.
Did he do? For Jose and Banana Man, sir?
I can see Tracy as a Banana Man, yes.
Oh,
my God.
That's awesome.
We couldn't have arranged that any better.
Yeah.
No, we couldn't.
So, Catherine, what was your first thought when you saw that guy?
You should have seen her eyes.
Funny. She said, can I peel him?
Oh, my God. Right.
Hello. It was Halloween.
Surprise.
He was allowed.
Surprise. But not any other day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear God.
That's funny. You just can't make this stuff up.
She seriously asked if she could feel him.
Yes.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, she was asking.
I
she
can't
was asking
remember.
Ginger.
I was on.
Oh, okay.
She was asking Ginger if she could peel him, and I don't remember what Ginger said.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Somebody asked if we like banana splits. I don't know. I had the whipped cream anyway.
Well, he would have
with the cherry on top.
No, they were all out of cherries.
Oh,
cherry
no. Bar.
Yeah, especially
a strange bear. What can I say?
I think I might go to Dairy Queen now for a banana split.
There you go. Just think on when you're having your banana split.
Oh, my God.
Oh, geez.
Banana's going to be
like
split
my,
already, though.
Like my daughter says, la, 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 la.
Oh, it was good. It was good. We had a good giggle that night.
As long as you had a good time, that's what counts, you know.
Yep.
I had to be careful with. I had to be careful chauffeuring Ginger and Catherine around together.
Oh. No, it's some trouble.
Why? You just tried to let me fall out the door. That's all.
We had a really good time, though. You know, Catherine, if I haven't told you, you are very much an Irish angel. You know, we really enjoyed the time that we got to spend with you, and we're looking forward to a lot more.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, jeez. Now, was that Ginger or Catherine?
Huh?
I say, was that Ginger or Catherine? Because a lot of times when they got together, they would be talking, and I couldn't tell one from the other. Ginger has a habit of picking up accents.
Oh. Oh, yeah, blame Ginger. Oh, yeah. I'm used to that.
I don't.
It's all Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was all Catherine's fault.
Yeah, right.
Remember, I can reach you by playing. Trust me, I can get there.
Choking.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's such a nice day out here today.
Yes,
it's freezing over here.
Ugh, that means you need to come to Texas. You know.
Don't tell me.
I'm not sure what the temperature is here right now, but it's temperature feel good.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. 72 right
over
now.
Over here, it's like if you're outside for 10 minutes, your fingers are tingling with cold.
Ooh, geez.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty cold.
Good, healthy Irish weather.
Yeah.
Keeps all the bananas fresh.
It is 37
Are y'all familiar with the girl out of California named Kamala Harris that's running for Senate? It's just so strange. I saw her name for the first time a while back. You know, James Harris was Kamala. And,
her name.
And stuff. And her name's Kamala Harris. I tweeted that out a while back, and
that's
I thought,
cool.
Did nobody catch on to that? Or so?
Yeah, I saw that.
Her parents must have been big Kamala fans.
That's what I was fixing to say. I read someplace where her mother and father were big wrestling fans. and that's what because of their last name, her dad named her, but it's Kimala, K-I-M-A-L-A.
That's how he used to spell it in the days, wasn't
it? No, which one? Her? She's K-A.
The article that I read spelled it K-I.
Well, you know, that's the problem they had early on World Class, and even he went from Kimala with an I, then World Class did it with an A, and then he was his hearer in some matches as late as 88 in the program. It has it back with an I, but hers is with a K and stuff. I was something came up on the Hollywood Reporter. Yeah, she's with an A.
That's pretty cool.
I think that is incredible. I didn't know that's why they named her that. That's funny. You know, the crazy thing.
I wonder what
he
ever thought of that. Probably honored. So honored of that.
You know, Bruno Mars. You know, you asked Bruno Mars, and his parents named him after Bruno Sammartino. But he was asked about it, and he said, "Oh, I was named after some fat wrestler."
Really.
Give me a break. Big old bodybuilder.
Bruno
Burley,
Fat.
Bruno Sammartino, no fat. And he called it just some fat old wrestler. So.
Bruno Sammartino is like 0% body fat.
Yeah, all that big chiseled old chest and everything. And he's going to do that and stuff. Speaking of Bruno, it looks like the next guy they'll put in the Hall of Fame next week is probably Larry Zbysko. Looks like he's going in this year to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, heard that. That'll
and
be awesome.
And, of course, I put I put that picture of Rikishi, Fatu on last night before Raw came on because I had heard that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. But it's not Rikishi. It's not Fatu. Not it's only
Rikishi
as the huge Rikishi. It's not. They didn't put anything about his other old career.
SST.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of that. Man,
but
I was a huge SST fan.
Going. Yeah. So, have y'all heard the rumors that I've read somewhere that they're talking about maybe doing a next year here in Dallas, Undertaker versus Sting, both of them retirement matches? Both of them? Retirement match? Y'all heard that?
Well, Lance and I were talking about that. Was it you and me, Lance, or was that.
I don't think it was me.
I don't remember who I was talking to. I was talking to somebody the other day about that, and they said that they've actually. Talk to somebody in the office. And what they're going to do is they're going to have a. It's going to be Sting and Triple H at WrestleMania, and they don't know. They said that Michelle has shown pictures of Taker running again and lifting some weights and this and that, trying to get back into shape.
Oh, very good.
So that's one thing that they're talking about. But they're talking about him and Lesnar having a rematch.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's really what it needs to be. That's really his main money match because this year, Taker and Bray Wyatt, I think we know who's going to win and how that's going to go. But I think that the main money match for him is next year with Lesnar if Lesnar stays around. I think you're right.
And that'll be his final match.
I don't know about, Sting needs to be used really limitedly because, it's going to show his age. I mean, he looks great for his age, but he's not going to jump around there like he used to and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's not
how old is Sting now?
I'm going to put him in. 56. I think he would have been a little older than Kerry. I think he's born in 58 or 59.
He's born in 59.
Okay. Thought I had that right.
His birthday is in March.
He didn't really get started, wrestling until there late 85, 86 is when he came on the scene and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. We were talking about Gary Young the other day. Gary Young had been around for 10 years, and then finally in 1986, the UWF Rookie of the Year.
That's awesome.
Gary Young all over the place and stuff.
They finally
get Gary was a card. I'm going to tell you all this. Gary had everybody at the shootout just rolling, laughing. We got ready to take the group pictures, and they started taking pictures, and all of a sudden they said, "Wait a minute, Gary, where's Gary Young?" And Gary sat there and popped out and threw his arms out and came over and sat down in front of Johnny Mantel. They started to take pictures.
Yeah.
And said, "Wait a minute," and he got up and moved the table because the barbecue place, they had a roll of paper towels right in front of him, and he had to move that out of the way. And then he had to go find Porto, And then he came over and sat in Johnny Mantell's lap. Then he sat in Eric Embry's lap. And then I think he tried to get Eric to sit on his lap, which would have been a mistake. But Gary, that would have been a mistake.
That's funny. You got to tweet some of those pictures, Alan. We want to see that group photo.
I did download some the other day.
I know they're on Facebook.
Some of them are on Facebook. As they get them downloaded, I'll copy them to you.
Put them on Twitter, please, and stuff. Please.
I thought I tweeted some to you, but I may not have. I know
no,
I downloaded them.
Yeah.
And them. Okay. Well, I'll double check, but I know I downloaded them and sent to you.
Well, I'm definitely interested. Please, that would be fantastic.
I mentioned this to Lance the other day. How many of y'all remember Solomon Grundy?
But that's it.
He always went around. He was kind of like Haystack Calhoun. Wore overalls, barefooted, and weighed about 500 pounds.
Yeah. Wow.
When he came in the shootout the other day, nobody could believe it because we knew the voice and we knew the name. And somebody said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Solomon Grundy." Everybody turned and looked. Unbelievably, the man weighs a little under 200 pounds. But he looked great.
That's pretty sweet.
You know, Alan, somebody that I didn't realize had so many matches, I thought he was more of just a gimmick and coming in for a tag team was T. John Thibodeau back in the late 70s.
Yes.
You know, he really was only, I think, California and here. I didn't realize he had so many matches, actually.
He was all over Louisiana, and one of his favorite traveling partners was JYD.
Oh, okay. I got you.
T-John was all over California, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. He did a lot in Oklahoma. He did a lot in Mississippi. But, his hero, when you talk to T-John, was Haystack Calhoun. And he did get to team with him one time.
Right.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And you know, another guy was Johnny Mantell. You know, had some big stuff in California that we don't see much. The magazines just didn't cover California and stuff. Even if you get the older magazines, you don't see much California stuff by the 80s. That stuff had really died down. That Roy Scheider stuff out there had died down. But you know, I didn't know that Johnny had so much stuff success out there in California.
Oh yeah, that's where Johnny originated from, and when his brother Ken came to Texas, he talked Johnny into coming out here, and you know, basically it took off from there. And 30 some odd years later, he's still here.
Still there. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Johnny's a really awesome guy.
That's neat. Well, I'm so glad y'all had a good time at the shootout and stuff. That's fantastic. Y'all have that.
Is there any news on Black Bart and how he's doing?
Black Bart is at home. He's doing okay. He was out of surgery. When he came out of surgery, they said it would be about 4 hours before they could talk to him and this and that because he wouldn't be able to talk. He was talking within an hour and wanted to go home.
That's the fighter in him.
Yeah, and I believe he went home yesterday about noon. They finally got all the paperwork and everything done and made him promise to go home and take care of himself, which with Bart, you know, now you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt with Bart, but last I heard, he's at home and he's doing good.
You know, I'd heard that Bart really, really took it hard when Mike Davis, the RPM, died, that they were really tight here and everything and stuff. And Mike Davis, what a character and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He really had a heck of a career there. You know, he was in Florida getting pushed and stuff on TV and everything and in the magazines. You know, I knew Mike Davis for a long time before he ever came back here to finish up his career and everything. And he was pretty old to be up on that scaffold in 87. You know, it seemed like he really did.
He had that heart.
Yeah, he could do it. I remember at the end there at Sportorium, he put on the mask and was doing this Viper gimmick, but he wasn't fooling anybody. Everybody kind of knew that was Mike Davis. We'd all been around a long time by then.
He's like, "Hey, Mike."
Yeah, the kids were unrelentless. They were just relentless.
Like, Mike.
I'm not Mike.
You know that picture I put of Mula being dragged out of the sportatorium. She's in the concourse of the sportatorium, and it's so amazing that, you know, that's 53, and I've got pictures of just everybody coming out of the locker room. You know, Dingo and Mark Lorenz, and just pictures right in that same spot. And it's just so wild that, you know, all those years later, when I was there in 1990, you know, that it looked exactly as it did in 1953. When it was rebuilt. It's just amazing.
That is pretty cool. A lot of
because I'm sitting there looking at the posts that hold up the stands, these little bitty red poles. I'm like, I leaned against those poles for hours just, you know, eating Jack's fries or standing around and goofing off, waiting for them to come out of the locker room. I mean, where else can they come out of the locker room and walk through kind of concession area before they go to the ring? I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore, you know, and stuff like that. Not on big shows where people are filmed and are known. I mean, it happened Sunday at this small show, but, back in the day, you know, it's weird. People have a sense of what the sportatorium looked like and it's nothing like what they think it looked like on TV. I wish I had taken more pictures interior of the sportatorium so I could explain to people. But there's some good pictures online of people have inside and stuff. So, you know, you can get a feel for it, what it was like in there.
The beer thing in the middle.
Yeah, actually, that's where you got your drink, all of your drinks, not just the beer, but your sodas. And sometimes you had to be careful because, They were always carding you to make sure that you were old enough to drink. But occasionally, some kid would sit there and order a Coke or a Sprite, and it'd be sitting right next to your beer, and the kid would walk off with your beer.
You're like, what the hell?
I never did that, I promise.
No.
Hey, Alan, you remember when Kevin would come to the ring, he'd come up, first you come up before you start down to the ring and hitting that light bulb, that there was that lamp that hung, and he'd hit this light bulb and pop it up in the air. I mean, I don't know how that thing didn't shatter all over and stuff. It's hanging on one little thread. It looked like something out of a TV show, a comedy, with one, you know, hanging down, just the cord and the bulb and everything, and he'd pop that, and if it was a big night where it was crowded, you could see that bulb get hit before you could even see them. Kevin and stuff, pretty funny and stuff.
Yep.
It really was.
I do know one time it did pop.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of cops and former cops in there, and they all hit the ground.
Right.
I thought it was a gunshot, huh?
Yeah, it actually was, because it instead of going straight up, it went sideways that night. It hit one of the rails.
Oh, dang.
And when it popped, I mean, whole room full of cops. You could tell which ones were cops or former military. They all hit the ground.
Funny.
Oh, you know what, Lance?
You what?
I like, back in, I'm looking through your pictures on Twitter, back in May 5th of last year, you had posted that one where it says Kerry Von Erich, new world champion. That's cool. I ain't never seen that before.
Yeah, my sister took that when we were sitting there at Texas Stadium. That is from Texas Stadium when he hit it. And I remember having that picture up on my mirror at home growing up and stuff on my dresser and everything for a long time. That was pretty darn cool.
I don't know
what else could be cooler. If you hadn't, you'd only been watching wrestling 2 years, and we used to have favorites, and the NWA meant something, and your favorite was the world title the first 2 years. I mean, I don't know where you go from there.
Because
I've seen it all in the first 2 years and stuff. You know, I started watching the end of 82 and 84. You know, my favorite becomes champion. So, but it sure used to mean something. That belt used to mean something, and everything. It's nobody done. The kids today wouldn't understand with the belts that flip flop, change hands, and everything. I was really happy when CM Punk held that title for a year.
For a long time.
I like that. And I wish that Brock was defending. I wish Brock was defending every month, but I don't mind him holding it forever.
Well, that's the only thing I have a problem with is they don't have a defending champion anymore like they used to. I mean, you know, now that's the thing about the NWA you know, the champion there does still defend the title as often as he possibly can, but
it does
nothing
travel
like it used to be. And, you know, it's like, I mean, not a lot of people know this, but the Haggis, you know, had the world heavyweight title for a while, and he was all over the map. And Kevin Douglas had the junior heavyweight title there for a while, and he was all over the map. I mean,
now this is that's Kevin Douglas from here. Yeah, yes. I do know Kevin who he was. I remember when he started and everything, and I wasn't sure if that was him that was going around.
That
so that is him. Okay.
That is him. And I mean, you know, these guys, you know, I mean, it was basically like, you know, it used to be. The promoters were bringing them in, you know, paying them their fee.